Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Grace Hour, the last installment this week. For those of you who are new to the program, we are a Christian program that dives into the daily challenges of our walk with God and to process it by faith in a practical way. I'm Pastor Rinaldo Brown. I'm in studio today with Pastor Shibeli. And this week we've been talking about the finished work, a great work on the cross performed by Christ on behalf of the world, really. So we'll continue with the thought from Pastor Shibeli. You can reach out to us with your questions and your comments on gracehour.org. Also, our YouTube and Facebook feeds. We look forward to your contributions and your questions. Pastor Shibeli, take it away.
Today would have been a great day to have Daryl and Veronica sing "It Is Finished." Remember that? We don't have any more. We don't do any more songs, do we? We gotta pray that through and think about that. By the way, Nehemiah 6:3. Yeah, I'm just not coming down from the old school.
I understand.
You understand that. In chapter 6, as Nehemiah is facing opposition to building the wall, you've got Ezra building the temple and Nehemiah building the wall around the city. And both are so essential. The temple is a place of worship where you get to meet God. You have your services there. The Bible is taught. You fellowship in the body of Christ, or at that particular time, the nation of Israel. Then you got the wall for security. Not only is the wall for security, the wall is for vision, so you can be able to see afar off. I think that's important. So in chapter 6, you've got some enemies. There's going to be enemies to building the wall. Just trace how many times it says, and the enemy said in the book of Nehemiah, and the enemy said, and the enemy said, and when the enemy heard, and the enemy heard, and the enemy heard, and the enemy said. So you've got Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies. This is chapter 6, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Heard that I had built the wall, and that there was no breach therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. That Sanballat and Geshem, okay, I don't know what happened to Tobiah there, but Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.
Oh no,
I'm not going to Ono. Okay. But they thought to do me mischief. Let's just have a meeting. Hey, let's talk. Let's have a little fellowship. You know, watch out, because the enemy would love to fellowship with me. Would love to just, you know, it can start off very innocently. It can look like it's even good. Let's talk to the enemy. And he says, it's not going to happen. And they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them saying, I am doing a great work. I like that. So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And actually, it happened the fifth time in verse 5. They just kept coming and coming. Come on, let's meet. Come on, let's meet. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, let's meet. In other words, the enemy never stops his initiations. He never stops his initiations. Till you go home to be with the Lord in your own personal life, until the rapture when the church is taken up, that the enemy will not cease. But I love the answer. I'm doing a great work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming down. If you look at verse 11, and they kept doing this over and over again. And I like verse 11. And I said, such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. So two key phrases here. Not coming down, not going to flee. Not coming down, and I'm not going to flee. So this subject this week and today, the finished work and my future. I'm not going to come down and I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to flee. And this is a statement that must be made not just with the mouth, but with the heart. Okay. Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the type of doctrine that was delivered unto you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just obey with your mouth. It wasn't just a footwork thing, but you obeyed from the heart. And when you obey from the heart, I guarantee everything else will come under that obedience. So they made a decision. Nehemiah, as the leader, makes a decision. I'm not coming down, and I'm not going to flee. And isn't Satan always trying to get us to come down?
Sure.
Remember what he said to Jesus on the cross?
Yep.
Save yourself. Come down. come down, save your own life, come down. And he's always talking about us, always initiating to us, always projecting at us, always trying us to give in the, live in the reflections of our flesh coming at us. Come on down, come on down, come on down. I'm not coming down, and I'm not running away. Nehemiah was not coming down or running away from the fight. Mm-hmm. From the first of all, from the work, and the work which was going to cause a fight. You know, today a lot of Christians, they kind of like are looking for very peaceful churches. We don't want to be in a church where there's any trouble. We want to just go to church on Sunday. They're going to pass out communion, and we love communion, and take an offering, and there's going to be the choir singing, and there's not going to be any trouble at all. Nothing's going to take place at all. I remember one time I was preaching in a certain country, and they handcuffed me in the pulpit. The police came and handcuffed me in the pulpit. Now, that was quite a scene. I just went quietly with them, and then, what ended up happening was very interesting. You know, I got set free, and actually the police were let go. They lost their jobs. Hmm. You know, I'm not coming down, and I'm not going to flee. I'm not coming down, and I'm not going to flee. This is so key. That God has positioned us in Christ. Mm-hmm. Remember that little saying I used to have, Jesus wins. Mm-hmm. I am in, no more sin.
Yes.
Jesus wins. It's a victory. I'm not coming down. And so if I mentally start to receive projections, then I begin to fellowship with them, meditate upon them, make decisions towards them, and I find myself coming down. Listen, you should go back into the world of botany where you're just a great botanist, David Livingstone. You're just a great geologist. Mm-hmm. You can map the whole country. You can map the country and you can survey the land and you can make maps which will benefit so many people. You can be involved in botany and that can be a great benefit. No, Livingstone says he's a missionary. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, I'm a missionary heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Don't even come near it. Don't even project at me. I am not coming down and I'm not going to flee. Mm-hmm. And so the enemy, whether you're a new Christian, you're a Christian that's been around for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the initiations will never stop to try to get us to come down. If we come down in our thinking about who we are in Christ, before you know it, the work will cease. Mm. That's what he says here. Why should I come down unto you, right? Mm-hmm. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it? When you come down, you actually leave the work. You leave the finished work, number one, and then you'll leave eventually the work that's taking place on a daily basis. I am not coming down. And how important this is. And if I do not have a finished work perspective, I don't really have a future. Hmm. I don't really have a future. My future is the finished work because the finished work is eternal. I like it. It's in the perfect indicative passive, John 19:28-30. Why is that important? Well, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I just read the Bible. What are you talking about, all these things? Well, this is what it means. Perfect. The finished work is eternal. Number two, indicative means it's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Passive, you receive it by grace. So perfect indicative passive means eternal. It's absolutely true and you receive it by grace. This is John 19:28-30. It is finished. And by the way, it's only one word, tetelestai. Mm-hmm. They've made it three words in the English, which is fine, but it's tetelestai. So it affects my future. How? Well, I have eternal. I don't really, you know, in all reality, do I really have a future or am I just living an eternal life? Hmm. I just live an eternal life. So I have eternal life now. My future is now. I have eternal life now and I have eternal life 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. I have eternal life if I'm single. I'll have eternal life if I get married. I'll have eternal life if I have children. I'll have eternal life if I have grandchildren. I'll have eternal life if I get sick. I'll have eternal life if I lose my job. I'll have eternal life if I die. I just happen to have life that is eternal. So it affects my future. Finished work affects my future. If I think I can lose God and I don't believe in the finished work, I am so anxious, worried, fearful, and doubting about the future. This is very important. Anxious, worried, fearful, and doubting about the future. So I need to make decisions about the finished work and have them in my mind. I make decisions in my mind. If I don't make decisions in my mind and I make decisions based upon circumstances or situations, but they're not decisions made in my mind. I want to have a dogmatic persuasion about the finished work. I am persuaded, Romans 8:38. I am persuaded, Romans 8:35 and 38. Absolutely persuaded. I am. You know what the word persuaded is in the Greek language? Plerophoria. Mentally won over. Mm-hmm. I am mentally won over. I make decisions with the finished work in my mind. I think about the finished work. When I make a decision, it's going to reflect the finished work. Not always. I can go off and be in a place where that doesn't take place. But overall, I want my decisions to be made with the finished work in my mind. And how does that influence my future? Well, it's been done once and for all. I'm not into works. Mm-hmm. I'm into the finished work working in my life. Works is something that is some kind of religious system where people think that what they do will have them please God. Mm. Well, I think if you heard the Father's voice in Matthew 3:17 and Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved Son, mm-hmm. in whom I'm well pleased. And then he says, hear him. So this is very important. So Nehemiah 6:3, not coming down. Nehemiah 6:11, not going to flee. This better be the pastor's attitude. This better be the pastor's mind. Because if it's not the pastor's mind, then what you have being preached on a Sunday morning or a Thursday or a Wednesday night is something other than the finished work. Mm-hmm. And it does not help anybody to have any persuasion or peace in their life to walk with God. I'll close with this verse. By the way, I'd rather be in with God than live in a pig pen. Luke 15. Mm-hmm. He said, this my son was lost. He's lost, yeah, but he's still my son.
Yes.
That's finished work. This my son was lost, but now he's found. In 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14-17, now thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph in every place. Victory in every place. I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Mm-hmm. Numbers 23:19. So Father, thank you for this time. Bless our program today. Bless our life today. Not really a program, it's a life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good start. Good start. It's imperative that I understand the mind of the finished work, because it directly impacts the way I live my life by faith through the finished work. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11, God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And that is very, very true. He says, I know my thoughts, but do you know my thoughts? Mm-hmm. And in Isaiah 55:8-11, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, because we don't think finished work. We think work, that's part of the, mm-hmm. that's part of the effects of the curse, but we don't think in the finished work. Psychologists even teach you that if you want to do something or remember something, don't finish it. If you don't finish it, you'll constantly think about it until it's completed. So it's like there's this mindset that we have to finish things, that we have to complete things, that we have to do things. And it kind of rubs you the wrong way when something's not done. So it's easy to look at your life and evaluate and see these things that are not done. So you're always pursuing and pursuing mm-hmm. and pursuing. And the finished work says this, everything that was necessary for me to have a relationship with God has been performed once and for all on the cross. So that my life with God is not performance. That my future is not a future work, a future job, future employment. Jesus didn't die to make me an employee. But rather, my future speaks about my participation in the results of what happened on the cross and my mm-hmm. fellowship with the person of the work, which is Jesus Christ. So that's my future. It's who mm-hmm. Christ is through grace, and what Christ has done, the work on the cross. And then thinking that through, in my future, I can look at my future secure. You said it correctly. It's secure, it's settled, it's established, and it's heavenly and it's eternal because of the cross. So why is my future secure? Because of the finished work. Why is my life with God secure? Because of the finished work. Mm-hmm. Why is my destination and my destiny secure? Because of the finished work. Why is faithful is he who called me who will also do it? Because of the finished work. So the work that accomplished on the cross secures me because of the cross. The cross becomes the because of my life. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. That is because of the cross. Paul can say that because of the cross. Because without the cross, I just am what I am. You know, Pastor Bell, it's very interesting mm-hmm. when you think about the finished work is that people they don't have a mindset about the finished work. They don't think about the finished work because maybe they're not aware of it. They haven't thought about what exactly happened on the cross. Because they're not really aware of it, and maybe they haven't listened to the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday of our program about what is the finished work, it's hard to live in something you don't know what it is.
Well, then, if you're constantly hearing preaching and teaching that's not finished work,
yes,
then it develops that mindset. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you hear continually ends up developing a mindset. And Paul used that word phroneo many times in Philippians, that you need to have a mindset. Let this mind be in you. Mm-hmm. And that's phroneo, a mindset, not just a passing thought. Right. And, you know, a lot of times we can get good passing thoughts, mm-hmm. but they never become a mindset.
Wow.
And here's an interesting thing. If Satan had the arrogant audacity to attack the finished work directly to the one who was going to finish it, who had finished it in eternity, Matthew chapter 4, mm-hmm. what's he saying? If you're the Son, mm-hmm. do something.
Yes.
If you're the Son, do something. If you're the Son, do. See, it's always if and do. Mm-hmm. If, I want you to prove you're a Christian by what you do. Mm. No, I am a Christian based upon what Christ has done and what has taken place in my life, what
That's
the
right.
Holy Spirit has done. It's not if and do, okay? If you're the Son, prove it. I don't have to prove it to anybody. Mm. I don't walk around, you know, we got to prove our Christianity. You better do this in the church, and everybody ought to know what in the church, what you're doing in the church, mm-hmm. you know? That's like, what is that? You're proving it by your actions? Mm-hmm. Or it's either your works or God's work. Mm-hmm. God's work or your works. Which is it? And so it's interesting, by the way. When did this all begin? Well, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Mm. Jesus finished the work in eternity past in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. It took place. It took place in time in the Gospels, but he finished the work in eternity.
That's right.
It was an absolute truth that was done. All right? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there it is. And Satan hates that. Mm-hmm. He hates that. So he tries to take you to a place where you're looking at everything in the temporal, mm-hmm. in the now, and not in that which is eternal. And I've got to have a mind that is fellowshipping with that which is eternal. Mm-hmm. Like tonight in Bible school, and everybody's welcome to come on a Friday night at 6:00, we're going to talk about Ezra and Nehemiah. And both of them had a finished work perspective about the temple and the wall. Mm-hmm. They understood they were called by God to build a temple and to build a wall. And that was so key. And you can see it as evidence in their lives. You know, as God would ask a question in Ezra 1:3, who is there among you? Is God be with him? Let him go up to Jerusalem. And Ezra just went up. Mm-hmm. Ezra went up. He didn't go up with many people at all. And then Nehemiah went up. And they faced onslaught from the enemy. I mean, there was enemies in Babylon surrounding them. There was enemies on the journey they took to Jerusalem. There was enemies around the city of Jerusalem, which wall was in ruins. And I also believe there were enemies within them, the ones that went up. So they had enemies everywhere, you know, trouble on every side. But because they had victory on the inside, they had a friend who brought them victory, Jesus Christ, on the inside, that the enemy on the outside can't touch the victory on the inside, the person of victory on the inside. And this is something we must really understand, because too often we give too much thought pattern and kind of like success, or we say it with our mouth, to the enemy and stop saying that. You know what? He's gone. It's done. It's over, you know, and he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I understand that. I'm not unbalanced in this, but I'm not going to give a place to the devil. Isn't that what Ephesians 4:27 says?
Yes.
Give no aetopos, a place to the devil. Don't give him a place. And then Jesus said in John 8:31-35 and 36, he wants his word to have a place in us.
This is that thing. I like what you said there about this spiritual inversion. That before I met Christ on the cross, I lived my life from the outside in. Everything outside affects me and changes how I see myself. But because of the cross, I live my life from the inside out. So now I process my life through the work of the cross on the inside. And then that's my evaluation mm-hmm. of the outside. I don't let the outside evaluate the inside or the initiate to the inside. Let the inside, the work of the cross in me, that evaluation that I make, I like the word Paul uses, I reckon. There's an internal evaluation that I make in my mind. I have a developed mindset and I evaluate what the turbulence around me through the person of the cross and the work of the cross. And we mm-hmm. learn how to do that. In Ephesians 4:20, we learn Christ. We learn it from the inside out. We learn how to live our life from the inside out. And I like also what you said about the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. It was a mental reality. Then it had a outward manifestation. It was mental, mm-hmm. then it was manifest. We are the same way. We, in our mind, just like it was with God, it was first mental, then it was manifested. In our life with God, it first has to be a mindset. It's got to be a phroneo. It must be a mental mm-hmm. mindset. And then there'll be a manifest in my life. The finished work will be manifested in my life because of a mental mindset that I already have. So I'm not waiting for the turbulence to come. I'm not waiting for Sanballat and Tobias. I've already made a mental decision mm-hmm. in my mind that I'm not moving off the wall. And all you are is just reminding me what I have already decided mentally. The manifestation of I'm not coming off the wall was in my mind mm-hmm. long before it was in my mouth, right? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So
that's very important.
The mindset, you got to have, and I think a lot of us don't have the mindset of the finished work. We have the verses, right?
Yeah.
We have the doctrine booklets. Do I have a finished work mindset? That's the question.
Here's the verse for that one. 2 Corinthians 10:4, casting down vain imaginations uh-huh. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity
yes.
to the obedience of Christ. The word captivity in the Greek language, interesting. It means put a spear through it.
Mm.
You know, I got these spears.
Yes, you do.
That I brought from Southern Africa.
Unfortunately.
I brought 10 of them. And actually, they let them on the plane, and they put them underneath.
That was pre-9/11.
They weren't on the plane. They were in the plane. You can do that, actually, even today, I think. As long as you package them in the plane and they go in the hold, not on the plane. So the spear.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. I don't know. But taking and putting a spear through it, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, put a spear through those things that are contrary to God's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about Genesis 22. And when he brought up his son, mm-hmm. you know, God called him to sacrifice Isaac, his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him when he pulled the knife out, he told him to hold back the knife. For God has provided himself a lamb.
Yes.
And the word himself is in capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. God, the very same spot that Abraham was going to do that to Isaac was Calvary, same yes. mountain. And so he was saying, God will provide himself the lamb. You don't need to sacrifice your son. I see that you were going to obey the word that I gave to you. Mm-hmm. And you had the right mindset towards it. So the finished work must be a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It must have a set mind. This is one of the problems in Christianity where doctrine and truth and progressive thinking is not preached and taught and adhered to. We have people that have thoughts, but they can be something that's, it is a true thought, but it doesn't stay long. It's not there very long.
It might
it's
be moral.
Gone, huh?
It might be moral. It might be good. Yeah. It might not necessarily be sin. And the finished work is not just for challenges in my life. The finished work is not just for sin, but rather the finished work is for my entire evaluation of my life. Because this is God's mind towards me. God mm-hmm. will not see me outside of the person or the work of the cross. He will not see anything in my life outside the person and the work of the cross. So then I have to learn by faith through the word of God and the Holy Spirit how to have a mindset for that. So because of the cross, in Hebrews 10:20, I have a new living way to live my life because of the cross. And then that way is through the results of the cross and the person of the cross. And because of that, I have to do the mental calculation. I have to kind of like Romans 6 talks about it, to know, to mm-hmm. reckon, and to yield. Mm-hmm. I know what happened on the cross through Christ. I'm aware of it. I fellowship with it. I comprehend it. through the Spirit, through the Word. Then I consider that, I reckon it in Romans 6:11 as being true, as if this is actual, not just true in the mind of God, but true in my life. And then I yield or I submit to that on a daily basis. I think sometimes we wait till things happen and then suddenly we run to the finished work, when that's got to be, for the believer, a presuppositional thought that I'm already sitting in the place, because that's what God does. He positioned me, Kimea, he's positioned me to in that position so that I have to, in Philippians 3, learn how to think about myself. First of all, I've got to see God through the finished work. Who is he in my life through the finished work? Then I've got to see myself through the finished work. And then that puts everything in perspective in my life. We said this last week that if I have facts, but I don't have the truth, my facts will become the truth. They'll become my truth. But if I have the truth, it takes the facts and it puts them in the right perspective. It puts them in their place. And the truth of my life is the person of Christ. The truth of my life is the work of the cross. And then that puts all the facts of my life in their proper place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't remove value or add value, but it gives them divine perspective about whatever is happening in my life.
You know what's interesting too? That's good. It's the truth, not the facts.
Yeah.
And you know, the 51 times in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, the word in is used.
Mm-hmm.
51 times. I count it. If I'm off a couple, don't call me a heretic, all right? Put down the stones, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if I have my glasses on when I did it, but I think at least 50 times the word in is used. Mm. Before you get to Ephesians 4, 1, walk worthy, you need to know who you're in. See, a lot of people want to walk with God, but they don't even know who they are in Christ. This is so key. So that's why it's important for people to go to Bible school, to be trained in the Bible, to be in a church that teaches positional truth, not just you need to do this, you need to do that. If you're a good Christian, you got to love unconditionally, you got to obey God, you got to win the loss, you got to pray more, you know. It's all about what you do, but they forget about who God is in your life. And when that is the priority of my life, that will be key. That will be key. That Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, 51 times in, what you're in. And you know, the word is an interesting word. It's one of the smallest words that we have, obviously, other than the word I. But you know, the word in is E-N in the Greek. And it means your place or your position. This is what it means. You're in. It isn't just like I'm in trouble or I'm in, you know, this or I'm in that. But it means this is my place and this is my position. I'm in. And Satan can never get in. This is the interesting thing. But he can project from the outside, but he knows he can never get in. He's out. He was kicked out of heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, landed on the earth, and he's a roaring lion seeking to devour. And how he devours is by getting people to think outside of God's thoughts. And if people think outside of God's thoughts, then they're not going to live in God's ways. This is so key. If you're out there today, you could call in. I don't know if we have any callers or not. We have some comments, but it'd be great to hear somebody's voice today.
We're not set up for that today. We look forward to hearing from you soon. But I want to go back to what you said just now. I like this. It's like so much about the finished work in my future. I have anxiety about my future most of the time because of the wrong mindset in my present. If you want to change your mindset about your future, your anxiety, your stress about your future, evaluate your mindset about your present. And what we're talking about the entire program today is I can be future minded when my current mind is stayed on God, when my mind has, I have God's thoughts.
Yeah, that's very important. Like anxiety really simply means in the Greek language, I'm not thinking with God. My thinking is separated from God's thinking. And it produces something.
Yes.
So if my thinking is not God's thinking, I'm going to live in anxiety.
Right.
I mean, here's those things that we talk about so often in the book of Matthew. Anxiety, Matthew 6. Then there's fear, running away from God, Matthew 8. Okay. Then you have Matthew 14, doubt. Then you have Matthew 16, human reason. Think about those four things. Anxiety, fear, doubt, and human reason. And what they can do, they can literally experientially destroy the finished work. Because I have such anxiety and fear and doubt and I just live in human thinking, revolving it in my mind, that you cannot destroy the finished work ever, but experientially it's doing nothing for my life. Yes. Nothing is taking place, you know.
You say the finished work doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't see it as something that is essential in my life to produce victory now. Mm-hmm. That's why I like 2 Corinthians 2:14, which I said before. Now, thanks be unto God, mm-hmm. who always causes us to triumph in Christ mm-hmm. and makes manifest his savor in every place. Now and always. Mm-hmm. This is important. I'm not waiting for heaven to experience the finished work.
That's good.
I can live in the finished work right now.
Now and always.
Now and always.
Because that's why it's a past tense word there. It speaks about something in the past that's supposed to set my mind in the present so that I can look forward in the future. But if my mind is not set on what has happened in the past, in the present, I'm going to be anxious because I'm not sure if it's finished tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's finished next year. I'm not sure whatever happens to me, I'm not sure. And by the way, if you don't see the work is finished, you're going to do the work. So you're going to plan on working the work of sanctification, the work of salvation, the work of holiness, the work of righteousness. I want to work. What must we do to work the works of God? Yeah. Have faith in the one who did the work.
That's it. And by the way, training, as Pastor Barry kind of just poked his head in here, think about training young people in a Christian school.
Sure.
And not in a Christian school that develops them in a works program, mm-hmm. but a Christian school that teaches them the finished work. That here you are. You're like 13 years old and you've received Christ as your Savior, mm-hmm. 12, 13, 14 years old, whatever it happens, even earlier. And now you're going to have a mindset established in you because everything's going to come against you. Mm. It's going to come against you. It's going to come against you. It's going to come against you. You know what? And I need to cast those thoughts down. I need to every day fellowship with a finished work mindset. Mm-hmm. I need to be around people that really, I know it's not always possible. You're at work. People mm-hmm. don't have finished work thinking at work, obviously. They're unsaved. Or even if they're saved, do they think in the finished work? You know, see, Satan is the author of the works gospel. Mm-hmm. He's the author of it. And Jesus is the source of the finished work. Mm-hmm. So you've got two kingdoms. Yet the finished work will produce a work of God.
Yes.
It will produce what Nehemiah is doing, building the temple and building the wall with Ezra. Mm-hmm. It will produce something. I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace caused me to labor. Mm-hmm. By the way, it almost sounds like a proud statement, but it's not. More abundantly than you all. I did more than all of you. Why? Because of the grace of God, because of the finished work. I have that understanding deep in my heart and in my soul, this finished work thinking. So I'm not going to stop laboring. Somebody asked me one time, and I think I said it before, so when do you retire? When I go to heaven. Mm. Like, what are you talking about? Like, even if I was 90 years old, couldn't I? By the way, my mother was still driving a car at 94. So, and I'm still very young yet, you know, in the 70s, mid-70s. So, but you know what? Can I pray? Can I encourage believers? Can I build myself up? I don't care what happens to us, maybe physically, but I'm not finished. Mm-hmm. I'm not finished. And I have to constantly proclaim that because there's one that's saying, retire. Come on, let the younger people do it. You know, well, maybe they're not ready yet. I don't know.
I would say this. I would say the finished work is not an excuse for my experiential life. And mm-hmm. you can't just hide behind the finished work and do whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that clear. It's not an excuse for my experiential life, but it is rather a holistic evaluation of my life through the vision, through the eyes of God. Through the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. There is a place for repentance. There is a place for discipline. There is a place for understanding. There is a place for growth. That's all under the finished work. In the environment of the finished work, motivated by love, that's there. So it's not a credit card to do whatever you want.
No,
to.
No, it's not.
But at the same time, it's how God sees me. It doesn't change how God sees me. And that's got to be the foundation for how I see myself.
And that's what happened with David. How could he turn around so fast after that? What happened to him?
Yes.
Murder and
yes.
adultery.
Yes.
Okay. He could turn around so fast because he understood the finished work. Mm-hmm. He understood who he was in Christ. How could Solomon, I mean, God calls him, he's Jedediah, one greatly loved by God. Solomon means you have peace with God. That's not enough for me. I want to be greatly loved by God, you know? So this is important. And David understood the finished work. Peter understood the finished work. It took him a while, you know? and he denied the Lord. But what about that statement in Acts 3:15, you denied the Lord? He preached that.
Mm-hmm.
How could one who denied the Lord, who walked so close to him and denied the Lord in a three-point denial, preach about you denied the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why? Because he understood he was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It was forgiven and forgotten and gone forever.
That's a key point of the finished work that I think people struggle with, is unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And if the work is finished, there is a capacity to forgive and be forgiven. If the work is not finished, that's something you have to work for. That's something you have to perform in the future. And imagine you live your life every day like today. What do I have to do to be right with God? What do I have to do today to satisfy God? What do I have to do today to make God happy?
Yeah.
And God's saying, what more can you do than I've already done for you on the cross?
Right. In other words, with forgiveness too, it starts with me and you.
Yes.
Do I realize I'm forgiven? See, if I don't realize I'm forgiven and God forgives me, how do I forgive others?
Yes.
And I'm walking around with guilt based upon my own sin.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even received God's forgiveness for what I've done. So how about forgiveness for others?
Yeah.
What does that become? Some religious external work that produces more guilt maybe in a person's life, you know? So this is important. We are in, and nobody can take us out. The old sin nature cannot take us out. The world system cannot take us out. The devil cannot take us out. We cannot be taken out. A situation, a circumstance, a problem, a trial, a test, a temptation, a failure cannot take me out. I'm in.
Isn't that really the quandary in Romans 7? You've got Paul the apostle, who's been an apostle for 18 years at this point. Isn't this the challenge that he has?
Mm-hmm.
He's been given the results of the finished work. But he refuses to live in the results of the finished work. He struggles with it.
It's a struggle, yeah.
And when you have the benefits of the finished work and yet you choose not to live in the finished work, it will feel like a prison.
It's a war. He says, I see another law in my members warring against me.
Mm.
There's a war going on. And I love the last verse of Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So this war will go on. If it went on in Paul, it's going to go on in us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to realize and concentrate on the victory. In the lowest place you are, you're in the pig pen of life and you're still God's son.
Mm.
Luke 15. It doesn't get any, you're in a far, not only are you in a far country, you're in a pig pen. Okay, it's a double hit.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a far country, and you're in a pig pen, and you're actually being accused even by your brother.
Mm.
Back there in your home, your brother's accusing you. You're in a far country in a pig pen. Wow, looks like this is finished. No.
Let's take a question from a lot of our – but we have some comments here. Daphne Self says, our heart – hi, Daphne. Good to see you last weekend. Our heart motivation is important as well as the proper mindset – Maybe they go hand to hand. They're true because they do go hand to hand because we operate in the new heart in Ezekiel 36:26, if I can say it. Ezekiel 36:26, we have a new heart and we have a new mind, and they work hand in hand with the Spirit being guided from our motivation by the love of God and our mindset by the Word of God. Elizabeth Hogue also says, hallelujah, that when I make decisions ahead of time by believing God, then I am spearing ahead of the time that the lies from Satan that will be coming, I am positioned in the authority of the Word of God. Then she says, can I have an attitude of it's all about me and it's not about others? Having an attitude of it's all about me and not about others be an indication of living in my own guilt or living in my past sin?
I'm self-centered.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying, and I know you're not. But having an attitude is all about me, then everything revolves around me and what I do. And not about Christ and what he's done. So you can't even say my attitude about me or others. No, it must be about Christ first.
Mm.
My thought pattern has to be about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Then I will know who I am and what I have done and can do in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Then it can be others.
Exactly.
That's next, you know. That's seeing others in Christ. And this is key. When Isaiah sees himself, he says he's unclean and undone.
Mm-hmm.
He's not living in finished work at that point. He said, woe is me.
Yes.
So you know the message is woe turned to go.
Yes.
When he saw how God saw him by purging his tongue and his lips, he realized that this work has been finished. And the woe. So what happens is, you know why people don't? By the way, I believe why people do not go on the mission field and the world is not being penetrated is because they haven't let the finished work penetrate them.
Wow.
So without the finished work penetrating me, why am I going to be involved with the work that's penetrating the world?
Hmm.
No, because I'm afraid.
Yes.
Right? I'm afraid to go to, you know, Asia. I'm afraid to go to South America. I'm afraid to go to Africa.
Sure.
I'm afraid to go to Canada. I'm afraid to go to the Midwest. Yeah. I'm afraid. I live in fear. Why? I live in fear, which fear is that which causes you to run away from God.
Yeah.
You live in fear because you are living in something other than the finished work.
Mm-hmm.
So if the finished work is working in me, then that message will be taken.
Yes.
That's why the ministry we have, I think right now we just planted church number 802 in the world. Say, oh, here he goes again. You know, no, I'm just bragging on what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God has done I think almost 80 countries now.
Yes.
You know what? Here's this man of God from Maine coming from a little town that you could drive through and not even find a light at one time. And he just gets a hold of the finished work and the message of grace, and he goes forward with it, preaching and teaching in it. And this is amazing. Mm. And then the message goes into all the world. And by the way, if we change the message, there's a big mess going to take place. The message change will bring a mess, a spiritual mess. You know what? So we go forward with that finished work, whether it's China,
mm-hmm.
it's Asia,
mm-hmm.
it's India. I mean, I was thinking that we have right now 301 churches in India,
mm-hmm.
just in India and Nepal, excuse me, India and Nepal. And this is the message. Pastor Carl Silva preached it, okay? Pastor Brian Coelho preached it. Pastor Rajan and those who went to Nepal in the beginning, they preached it. Mm-hmm. Pastor Glenn Cannon went there and preached
yes.
grace and the finished work. So these places, they had a great foundation. And if you go with another foundation, well, that's fine. You can do what you want. You have free volition. But this is the foundation that you can build upon,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you can build upon that foundation. So let's keep going.
It's so key to my thinking and my living, the position from which I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 2:20, the life I now mm-hmm. live, where am I living from? Where am I living? The cross is behind me. I'm living my life forward from the cross. And then I'm learning, and like you quoted Romans 6:17, that I obeyed mm-hmm. from the heart. I'm learning to respond, to know, to reckon, and yield to that mindset which guides my heart, which guides my direction, which guides how I process information, how I process facts, how I process things that happen,
mm-hmm.
How I process what I know and what I don't know, then my future is as secure as my position.
Absolutely. I like the no wreck and yield because that's from Romans 6.
Yep.
That was one of Pastor Stevens' messages.
It was.
He talks so much about knowing, reckoning, and yielding.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great series of messages and thoughts. And this is so key. So what am I going to live in today? Am I going to live in it's hot out? Am I going to live in my finances aren't doing well? Am I going to live in I really need a lot of work on my marriage? Am I going to live in, you know, what's taking place in the atmosphere?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to live in who's the president, who's not going to be the president,
mm-hmm.
whatever? Or am I going to live in the finished work? I'm living in Christ and then in what he's done. You cannot separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot separate the person of Christ from the work of the cross. If you say your work saved you, the Christ you know is not the one I know.
Wow.
That's important. That if it's Jesus Christ, it's a finished work. If it's not a finished work, it's not Jesus Christ. He's saying, I've come, now live up to my character
wow.
and my nature. I cannot live up to his character and nature. But he's done a work that gives me the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can really live absolutely in fellowship with Jesus Christ's nature.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today for the Grace Hour. It's been great talking with Pastor Belli and thinking about the finished work. Your future is as secure as the work on the cross. And when you think with God about your position in the cross, you will find out that your future is brighter than you think. Amen. Join us again next week on Monday at this same time as we look into the Word of God and live our life through the gospel and through the finished work. We're here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Sunday for services from 9, 11, and 6:30. And also next week on Wednesdays at 7. And tonight,
yes,
by the way, we'll see you at 6:30 for Bible College with Pastor Billy Ezra Nehemiah. God bless.
Amen.